heal the sick. You know, he told them, don't wait to prepare clothes or money. Don't wait for that. Just go and do the things that I tell you to do. Thanks to God, that same commission is to us today. He says, use the power that you have been given over the power of the enemy. See, that's what Luke 10 and 19 was all about. He gave them power over all the power of the enemy. And he told them, when you go, this is I don't want you to take a script. I don't want you to take extra sets of clothes. And I don't want you to take money. You're to use the power that I have given you over the enemy. Saints, let me tell you something. In the next lesson, we'll probably talk a little bit more about this power that God has given us. But that's a whole lot of power. You know, you're not going to take any clothes. You're not going to take any money. You're not going to take a script. You're just going to use the power that God has given you over the enemy. And you can't be fearful, saints. You know, recognize that nothing will hurt you. Don't be fearful, because there's nothing that's going to hurt you. You know, you can't be afraid of demons and devils. You know, you can't be afraid of school shootings. You can't be afraid of mall shootings. You can't be afraid of going to the grocery store and maybe being shot or killed at the grocery store. No, he said nothing will hurt you. So as we go in our everyday life, we're supposed to go armed and ready and knowing that what God says in Luke 10 and 19, that we have power over the power of the enemy, and recognize that nothing will hurt us. And in Matthew's, he says, they are to go and teach all nations. This is what we're to do. Teach all nations. Go to all the world. You know, begin to do the things that he told us to do. Begin in Jerusalem, he says, and go to every creature. Now, this is the account that he's given us that we have to go to in the book of Matthew, that we have to go to Jerusalem and to every creature. This is what they were assigned to do. And he said, preach repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm speaking from the subject today, what the church needs now is love. What the church needs now is love. I'm looking at verse 2. We began at verse 1 this morning, 13 chapter, 1 Corinthians 13 chapter and 1. So we're going to begin at verse 2. And Paul says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. My brothers and sisters, as I explained this morning, when I say what the church needs now is love, it's not, I'm not talking about the church building, the brick and the mortar. I'm talking about the ecclesia, which is the called out believers in Christ Jesus, the real church, the church that sits on the pews, the church that leaves out of this door and go to jobs and go home and go to school and go into the marketplace and affect people around them with the love and the light of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the real church. It is that church that needs in this day and time to reflect the kind of love that shows us all that the Lord is living on the inside of us. Jesus was clear to say, the only way that men will know that ye are my disciples is if you have love one toward another. It is so clear to understand that Jesus said, "A new commandment I leave with you, that ye love one another." And the word speaks about love. It talks about God being love. It talks about God loving so much that he gave. And it's all important to understand that what God is and we are a part of God, then that ought to be a part of our makeup. If we say we belong to God, love ought to be a part of who we are. We spoke on last Sunday and we told you that love was the fulfilling of the law. And yet the church seems to have issues with grasping this concept. Paul, listen, when he wrote this letter, was dealing with the church having problems with this issue of love. In the 12th chapter, listen, they were all giddy and they were all excited about the gifts of the Spirit and about learning and operating and walking and flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. But Paul recognized something. Though they were operating in the gifts of the Spirit, it was not motivated by the love of the Spirit. And the same issue appears to be happening today. Too many of us don't recognize that what God wants us to realize is that it's not our gifts that show men who we are, but it's God's love that shows men who we are. Listen, a person out on the street going through problems and situations, etc., your gift can only help them in or out of that circumstance, but it's the love that you have that you can introduce them to so that they may have that fulfills them underneath their skin. With the absence of that love, guess what? What you helped them with this time, you might as well stay right there because they're going to need it again. Because the gift can't give them what love can. And so Paul is demonstrating in this word, verse 1, he talks about you know, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. And this word charity in this 13th chapter means love. It means alms and various other words. But in this chapter, it means love, agape love, the God kind of love. And so when he talks about this, he's helping us to understand that the love of God, or the God kind of love, is supreme in everything that he's dealing with. Now, he uses himself as an example because Paul has been richly blessed in the things of God, in supernatural gifts, in tongues, etc. And he says in verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy, which he dealt with in the 12th chapter and made clear that they understand that speaking in tongues was the least of the gifts and that prophecy was preferred above many of the other gifts because the church as a whole could understand the prophetic word that came across or came forth from the man or woman of God, but not so with tongues. It was really designed to be an individual gift for the believer to help build up his or her most holy faith. And just to make sure they were clear, Paul said, now, I ain't got no issues with speaking in tongues because I speak in tongues with more than ye all. So let's be clear about the matter. I'm not telling you that because I don't do it or can't do it. I'm telling you that it's not designed for the church unless you have an interpreter. And so he makes clear that interpreting this word and understanding this word, that prophecy was preferred. And he said, though, if I have all understanding, listen, all understanding, that literally means that I understand it from the least to the greatest of the revelation. That God gives it to me, but his spirit also causes me to be enlightened and informed by the revelation that I have received. He says, and though I have all knowledge, he has knowledge of the supernatural, things that are coming up, things that were behind, things that are going on now. He has all of that knowledge. Listen at this now. And then that he has all faith, so that he could remove mountains. Listen, the word has already been clear. Jesus made it clear. It don't take but a grain of mustard seed to be able to speak to a mountain. And he said, I have all faith. So think about what he could do with all faith when it don't take but a mustard grain of faith to move a mountain. But listen to what he says, that with all of that, and if I don't have charity or love, listen closely, I am nothing. That'll deflate you right there, won't it? I don't care how puffed up you think you are and how big you think you are and how folk lift you up and make you think you are, all of that. When you come down to the reality that without love, listen, God is not operating in the reality of what is real. And you're going to understand that though he gives you the gifts and he says his gifts are without repentance, what a lot of folk don't understand is he will use the gift to bless other folk and leave you out of the blessing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be used of God for my gifts to bless other folk, and I don't even end up blessed myself. But if I don't have love, listen, he's not going to take my gift back from me. He said, I gave that to you, and I gave that to you for the body. I didn't give that to you. And see, that's what people need to recognize in the body of Christ. The gift God has given you, or the gifts God has given to you, the reason why they still work when you act a fool and you're not right and things are not going the way is because the gift don't belong to you. You're just a servant. That's why you can't look at the man and judge the man. God has given him or her the gift, and through that gift, he blesses you. But what is amazing is you got folk who are gifted walking around the church and won't even speak to folk. They're holy, they walk around like a halo is over their head. They walk around like heavenly music. Every time they walk, they're more than self-righteous, and they act like God ain't talking to nobody but them. And if you're not on my level, I ain't got much to say to you or do with you, because I'm up here in the... I see some demons in you. No, you see them demons reflecting out of your own eye. You can't even see what's going on in me. The Bible says, for that beam that's in your eye, how can you see that speck? Y'all ain't got to say amen. I know I'm right about it. Paul began to talk about folk like that. He said, I bear witness that you have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, there are some people who are seriously desiring to be all that God wants them to be, but they've gotten ahead of God. And they think that God can use them like they are without love. You can't minister to people and you don't love them. I know I've told you the story many times before, and I'm going to tell it one more time. In this Methodist church, Bishop appoints and assigns pastors to these churches. And that was this one church that was noted for being a preacher fighter. And somehow the Spirit of Truth came on the pastors that came and preached to the people. And all of them preached a message very similar that said, you're going to hell. Every Sunday, I don't care how they said it, it was, you're going to hell. And so, of course, you know, those who were influential would get on the phone, and not very long, Bishop would move them out of this pastorate and call another preacher in. Not very long, he'd check on them, and he'd say, how's it going? And lay leader would say, well, I don't know what's wrong with these preachers, but here, this one talking about, we're going to hell. And I said, can you get us another preacher? And the bishop said, yes, we can get you another preacher. And they got him another preacher. And this time, this preacher preached to him in such a fine fashion. And the bishop checked on him a few weeks later. He said, how is this preacher? He said, he seemed to be all right. Bishop said, what is he preaching? He said, we're going to hell. He said, just give us a minute. We'll call you back and check. So months went by, and the bishop called back and said, how are things going? Y'all hadn't called me. He said, what the preacher preaching? We're going to hell. He said, well, what is the difference between what he's preaching and the other preachers preach? He said, well, the message is the same, but the difference is they preach like they were looking forward to us going to hell. And this preacher preached to us like he didn't want us to go to hell. And all I'm trying to tell you is, if love is not the motivating force behind the message, behind the work, behind the gift, behind the instrument, then you're going to miss it every time. My brothers, my sisters, that makes no sense. So many people are hurting in the church. Come hurting in the church. Looking for an answer. Don't know what they've gone through that week to get here, only to have the foolishness that they see in the house of God. To see how church leaders sit up and twist their noses and roll their eyes and look at folk crazy. How people sit there and hush and talk about one another as folk go around for offering and different things. You don't understand. Some people might be on their last leg about to throw in the towel and say, if there is not a word from the Lord, then I'm going to give up. And they come to the church looking, is there a word from the Lord? I don't want to hear all that mess that's going on in the world. I'm in the world. I already know what's happening in the world. I want a word from the Lord. And it is that word that saves you through a loving heart. My desire is that we learn how to love one another, talk to one another, go to one another, share with one another, change the way that we are acting, because our ability to save souls depends on the love on the inside of our hearts. The Bible says the common man heard Jesus gladly. Not those who were of the upper echelon. Jesus then said that it's not the well who need the physician, but the sick. But every time the sick came to the church, the well tried to put them out, because they didn't want no healing in that church. They didn't believe in that. They didn't think that should go on. When Jesus loved the hurting and those who were twisted and those who were messed up and those who had needs far deeper than they could even articulate, and they needed somebody to love them beyond their pain. And Jesus was right there to do that for them. And the church can take a lesson from Jesus. That's why more people, listen at this, followed Jesus outside the church than they did in the church. Somebody don't hear what I'm saying here. They left the inside of the church and followed Jesus because he represented true love, true compassion. And it wasn't about the brick and mortar. It wasn't about the beautiful temple. It was about the love demonstrated. And my brothers and my sisters, as I close this message this morning, God is not interested in you thinking you're all of that for the kingdom. Listen, he wants you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of his word. He wants you to become stronger in the things of God. He wants you to operate in supernatural gifts. He wants you to flow, because all of that belongs to the body. All of that belongs to the ecclesia, the real church. But not at the cost of not loving. Not loving. We make more folk sick then we make them well. Look around. Why aren't some people here now? Because we done made them sick. Why aren't they in the choir? Why aren't they here? Why aren't they there? Why aren't they at their post? Why have they left? Because we made them sick. Instead of healing them and helping them and telling them, listen, it's time to come out of that mess. Let me get down in here with you and pull you up out of this. I see there are things you can't handle by yourself. And God has blessed me to help you. And get this. And when he blesses me to help you, guess what I don't do? I don't get on the telephone. I don't get on Facebook. I don't get up on all of the social media and talk about your business. I tell the Lord, thank you for letting me be an instrument of blessing to your people, Lord. And I got news, when you start helping folk like that, they'll go get somebody else that needs some help and said, I remember when I was down and out, didn't have a friend, but I stepped in the house of Jesus and he used the people of God to turn my situation around. And I know what he's done for me. He can do the same thing for you. My brother, my sister, what the church needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that's going to last beyond this time. May God bless you and keep you as our prayer. The doors of the church are open, whoever you are. The Lord wants you to know, my brother, my sister, he loves you. He sees your circumstances, your situation. He wants you to know help is as close as your call. You don't have to worry about being judged. You don't have to worry about what other folk will say. He loved you so much so he sent his only begotten son to come down to help you. You. What you're fighting with is too strong for you, but it's not too strong for him. If you'll come to him and say, Lord, I come just as I am. I'm weak, I'm weary, I'm worn, I'm sad. But I know I can find a resting place in you. And you can make my heart glad. Is there one today? One today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is there one today? You see, he can't help you if you don't admit you need help. The hospital don't go knocking on door to door and say, listen, is there anybody that need to be in the hospital? If you want God's help, simply ask him. Simply ask him, say, Lord, I need your help. I need you to change my situation, Lord. Life, in all of its ups and downs, shakes us to our very core sometimes. But what a blessing it is to have an anchor in the Lord, to be strong and to be steadfast during a storm, knowing that he'll steady you till the storm is over. This is our last appeal. This is our last appeal.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John